So
it's a little bit of a tangent, but it's certainly an important topic, and also in a way it's not a tangent because it really goes to the core of what it is that our Mishnah is talking about. So that's an important thing to try to clarify, because the question of whether or not get needs a Beis Din is certainly important to the halacha, may or may not be alluded to in Rashi and our Mishnah, and the question remains whether or not Rashi and Mishnah is talking about that. If there is such a din, so why is get not in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah listing off all these areas for which we need about the din and which we don't. So get is kind of the elephant in the room, or the elephant not in the room, or the idea that by its absence it draws attention. So one way or another, whether it's a tangent or not, it certainly deserves at least a little bit of attention. So as we started to explain last week, that get is not mentioned explicitly in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that chalitza requires three, and miyun requires three. And if you recall, so we discussed what miyun is, and Rashi helpfully gives us all the background on what miyun is, and that is mostly uncontroversial, except Rashi throws in a line in the middle. Rashi tells us that miyun is the process of a young girl, a pre-bas mitzvah girl, deciding she's not interested in staying with the husband that her mother or her brothers picked out for her. This is different than a husband that her father would have picked out for her, because that's Kedusha and Halacha min HaTorah. But for the mother or the brothers, it's only a Drabanan Kedusha. And strictly speaking, there is no marriage there at all in Halacha min HaTorah. So the girl could just decide she's not interested and walk away. But Chazal made a process for it called miyun, that she has to declare her lack of interest. In case he's slow to catch on, she has to declare how much she's not interested in him, and that's what we call miyun. And that is a reference in the Mishnah that miyun has to have a Beis Din. So Rashi fills us in all that, no problem. But the controversial and mysterious part is that Rashi throws in the middle that the reason you need three is called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Deraisa Tikkun, that the Chazal have patterned their dinim after dinim in HaTorah. So therefore, just like the din in HaTorah, so too here. Now that's interesting on a lot of levels, as we mentioned, some of which you won't even necessarily have an opportunity to explore. But Rashi was already taking a stance by saying that, and saying that miyun doesn't inherently need Beis Din. Apparently, there's nothing really about miyun that is Beis Din related, but because we want to stick to a Daraisa pattern, so we keep the din ben HaTorah of Beis Din. So that itself is an interesting area to explore. But what gets a lot more attention is just what he slipped into the conversation there. Oh yeah, following the din ben HaTorah, therefore we need a Beis Din here also. So everyone says, whoa, hold on. In HaTorah you need three? Three for what? So the assumption that many have when reading this Mishnah is that the reference is a get, which on the one hand is a logical assumption by itself, because it sounds like we're saying that if she was married as an adult, or if she was married off by her father, then that would be Kedushin Daraisa, and she'd only get out of it with a get. So here, since it's only Drabanan, that's like the get with Drabanan, so therefore it also needs a Beis Din, implying that a get needs a Beis Din. So that implication was a surprise to many. So for example, the Noda Behuda has a tshuva about this, but the Noda Behuda considers the question of whether a get indeed needs Beis Din. And his instinct and his logic and his reasoning all leads him to think that a get does not need a Beis Din. However, he notes that we have to deal with, and there's a ruah that we'll talk about a little bit later, but we have to deal with Rashi. But here we have Rashi apparently telling us black on white that a get needs Beis Din, so what can you do? That's what it seems like Rashi is telling us. Now, there are many who point out that, well, the truth is Rashi is not so black on white, and because get is not the only candidate for what the Kein Deraisa is, maybe Rashi means something else. So what's the other popular second choice? Chalitza, right? Chalitza has a lot going for it. So among those who make this suggestion, just if you want to see something you have in your Gemaras, so different Gemaras have these formulated different ways, but if you look at the Rashash in the back and the more Medanish Gemaras, so the Rashash is part of the Otzim Meforshim, and the more classic Gemaras, Rashash gets his own page. But the Rashash's language is, you can look at yourself here, Hano de Yehuda, Madura Tinyana, Ibn Ezra Kufi Dalid, V'chein Tosfos Shebekiva Eger, who also has this understanding in our Rashi, that we're talking about Ritzono Lomar Kein Get Shel Torah, but that's what Rashi means to say, that it's like a get. So that is different. Keo Bazet, the Hecham Etzina Beget, Shehei Tzarech Gimel. So that's difficult for everyone, because where do we ever find such a thing? That a get requires a bezin v'li efshel omar to cover also al chalitza shehei kein miyun shayav memay liyavama. So just like when it comes to chalitza, we have this element of refusal. That's basically what's going on. We're having the yavam refuse the yavama. The brother-in-law says he's not interested in the widow. So too, that's what is comparable here, and that's why Chalitza is a good candidate, and we're not talking about get at all. So the truth is, there is a certain elegance to this approach, the approach of the Rosh Hashanah and the Erech Luner. It works on a couple levels. Right? It answers up, it really is the simplest approach to take, and if we were okay with that, then that could really end the whole story. Why is this the simplest approach to take? Because, first of all, if get requires bezdin, so then we alluded to before, it's a little bit striking that the Mishnah doesn't say that. Right? The Mishnah is telling us all these halachos that require bezdin, all these mitzvahs, all these proceedings that require bezdin. You think get is pretty important, that should be here. Comes up more often than egla rufa, right? That should probably be mentioned in the Mishnah. So if you say that the simple answer is it doesn't need a bezdin, so okay. So then that itself could explain it. Then we could also understand why is it comparable to chalitza. Well, chalitza's got another advantage because chalitza is mentioned in the Mishnah together with it. So that's another reason to support such a position. It flows, right? V'chalitza v'hamiyunin v'shlosha. So chalitza means three, and hamiyunin kein deraisa, like chalitza means three. So it answers up why get is not in the Mishnah. It answers up how we could accommodate any implications to the contrary in terms of get requiring bezdin. It flows with the fact that chalitza is the word right before, and it has conceptual similarities. So what conceptual similarities it have? Rosh Hashanah just mentioned one. Are there any others you can think of? So some achronim point to a few other similarities between chalitza and miyun. Yeah?
Let's take out. It's avoiding a marriage instead of getting out of a marriage.
Okay. I wonder if that's maybe what he's getting at when he says mian. You know, mian is basically just a refusal, saying, I'm not interested. Maybe that's another way of phrasing the same thing. Okay. But that certainly seems to be true. What else?
I was going to say that chalitza is interpreted a lot. There's a lot of derabbanans within chalitza, and so mian has that connection to it in terms of derabbanan.
Okay. So interesting. There are a few other ideas that are identified. One is that both chalitza and miyun are essentially really speech-based. It's basically, I'm saying I'm not interested, so it's all something that takes place through speech as opposed to a get, which is something that takes place through the writing and the giving of a document. And also, perhaps this is particularly significant to keep in mind, that a get is something the husband does and a reality the husband creates through his actions. While when it comes to chalitza and miyun, really they're not doing anything. They are just going through the steps, and the woman becomes muteris automatically. Which has ramifications, for example, that the question comes up whether when it comes to chalitza, can you have shlichus? Can you have conditions? And when it comes to a get, you can. You can have a shliach, you can have conditions placed upon it. So some explains the truth about this in the Chacham Tzvi, that when it comes to a get, so the husband is doing something, he is divorcing his wife, So therefore, as the one performing the action, he can place conditions on the action, he can give someone else the authority to do that action. But when it comes to chalitza and miyun, it's not really the case. Nobody's actually doing anything. It's just a reality that kicks in. And therefore, it's not subject to conditions. It's not subject, perhaps, to shlichus. That's a difference which leaves get on the one side and maybe chalitza and miyun on the other side. Another point that the Nodeh Bihuda highlights, which we'll come back to in a minute, is that the Nodeh Bihuda, when he says that he's baffled at this whole suggestion that get is going to require three, as he writes that he would think that really chalitza and miyun are more comparable, because, or at least miyun is, let's focus this way, that at least miyun is differentiated from get, because a miyun happens against the will of the husband. The husband is just told, listen, I'm not interested. I don't care how many flowers you bring. I don't care how much you beg. I'm just not interested. And that's it. While a get does not happen against the will of the husband. So therefore, perhaps the Beis Din is there for the miyun. But why should we need a Beis Din for the get? The husband just does what he wants to do, and therefore we don't necessarily need a Beis Din for that purpose. So focusing on that element, the Nodeh Bihuda writes, he thinks again that conceptually there isn't as much similarity between a get and a miyun process as you might think. So with all that, so why does anyone think Rashi is talking about the get? So including the Nodeh Bihuda, who's making this point. So it seems because it sounds like the progression of Rashi is that min haTorah, somebody's married, needs a get. Midrabanan, a marriage like this of a katana, works through miyun, and kein d'oraisa, you need a Beis Din, so it sounds like it goes back on the first idea that a get requires Beis Din. But without that, we've seen many reasons to go the other way. Arya, you had a question?
I was curious if in chalitza or miyun there's a concept of the ksuba?
No. So the ksuba actually is relevant. So when it comes to chalitza, there is relevance to the ksuba, because the ksuba is the original marriage. Is that what you're referring to?
I was just curious.
Yeah, no. So that
would be another difference between them.
Right. Yeah. So that plays a role. So we'll, but that also might be a significant point. So we will come back to that soon. So you have basically a machlokas about whether get requires Beis Din, and the question of what role does Rashi plays is the implication that Rashi holds get does need a Beis Din, and then we have to somehow deal with it. Or should we say, like the Rosh Hash, like the Archoner, like others, that it's really not an issue? Like, for example, the Tziv. The Tziv has the Tshuva and his Meshav Davar, where he says, totally not true. A get doesn't require a Beis Din, and a get that's given without a Beis Din is totally fine, no problem, nothing to worry about. Why are you bothering me? Go on. Not an issue at all. So we have here a Machlokes HaPoskim. And the question of whether or not we have to deal with this somewhat pesky Rashi here. Now, there are Gemaras, of course. You may have seen some of them on the Maror Kol, some of them in other places, where we have Gemaras that seem to imply one way or another, and very often there are Gersos issues. So, for example, there is the Gemara in Erechin, which maybe you saw the Maror Kol, which seems to suggest you don't need a Beis Din, although there's a question whether that Gersa is correct. Maybe you saw the Tosfos in Kedushin and Daftas, which sounds like it's saying you do need a Beis Din. And again, there's a whole fight over what the proper Gersa of that Tosfos is. So we have a couple of textual clues which are a little bit disputed. But perhaps most striking is that the Gemara in the first part of Gittin, the beginning of Gittin, has a machlokas about how many people need to be present when the get is given over to the wife. And it's a machlokas whether it has to be two or it has to be three. But it sounds like from the Gemara, like it doesn't require a Beis Din then. Because then that's your answer. So you have to figure out how do you deal with this Rashi. Right, so either you assume that the implication of Tzukis HaShas is that get does not need Beis Din, so then how do you deal with this Rashi? So either you could say, like we just saw, that Rashi is not talking about this. All right, we saw that was the view of the Rosh Hashanah, Erklin Heir, and others, that it's a mistake, Rashi never used the word get, and to assume that that's what he's talking about, it's just simply a misreading. But let's move into the next phase of this discussion now. So let's say you believe that Rashi is talking about get, and you also feel, like all of you that are from were inclined to feel, that the get does not require a benzin. So what can we do with this? Is there a way to thread the needle? Is there a way to resolve these so that we can have Rashi apply to something while still maintaining the Ikar Hadin that under normal circumstances a get does not require a benzin? Any suggestions? Morty?
Yeah, the differentiation that sometimes Jason acts in an adjudicating role and sometimes they act in like a formalizing role.
Right.
So
okay.
Is there any like types of gittin where it's more like a divorce court type of thing more than just like a
okay.
Standard approval?
So you're on to something. So take that next step. Are you?
I don't know if this is the next step, but there can be different kinds of basins, not just in that sense, but also in terms of the nom. So there could be a basin of hediotos that can just kind of look at this get process, and they could be the basin that way. Or maybe...
So before you go any further, though, what you're saying, I think, is actually different than what Morty was saying.
Right.
Is that you want to distinguish between different types of batei din.
Right.
Problem that, and you could go further, the problem is, I don't know if we see any sources that are going to lead us in that direction. I know that if we were to have one gemara about smuchin and one gemara about non-smuchin, we can start trying to work that way. But the problem is that we've seen so far some sources indicating that the get doesn't need bezdin at all, of any kind. And then this Rashi, so how do we resolve that? So what Morty, I think, was about to say is that you have maybe different scenarios of get. And I think that's what you do find some suggesting. And then the question is, so what kind of distinctions can we make? Let's say we posit then that the default situation is, you're right, get in some perfect world does not need a bezdin, but there are other types of get situations where a bezdin could theoretically be necessary, and then maybe that's what Rashi is saying. Rashi is not saying that every get needs a bezdin, but when a get needs a bezdin, it's a bezdin of three.
That's why it could be left out of the Mishnah, because like, it's not unequivocal also.
Maybe, right. But that could address that a little bit less cleanly, but certainly the other tension could work out very well. But if that's what Rashi means, so for example, let's take the Gemara in Erechin, right? It says that Atu called Magarish Yishto Bebezdin Magarish Yishto, every person who divorces his wife, he doesn't bezdin. It's always the case. So then that would work well. We say, no, by default, a get does not require bezdin. You can have a get without a bezdin. And therefore, the Gemara, every Gemara could then make sense based on that. But Rashi could still be saying that when a get needs bezdin, then it needs a bezdin of three. So what kinds of scenarios would that bring up? When would you have, what would be an example, would you think, of when a get may need a bezdin? So one Mara Makom, I don't remember if I put on Mara Makomos, I should have, but... Here, sorry again to favor the veterans, but those of you who were here last semester, so you saw this Gemara in a different context. The Gemara Masechet is Gittin and Daf Pehes.
You wrote it
Pehe. Pehe, yes. Okay, but you know what Gemara I'm talking about, right? So the Gemara, now how is that Gemara possibly relevant? The Gemara talks about, this was something we spent a lot of time again last semester, again, forgive the discrimination, but we talked about the sugya of Kfiya by Get. The Gemara talks about the possibility of compelling someone to give a get. And in that context, it seems like there is a Gemara that says that you do need a bezdin. Because the Gemara in Gittin, towards the end, the Gemara says that Rav Yosef was found compelling Gittin. And the Gemara asks, well, how could he do that? Right? Because since Eila HaMishpatim Asher Tassim Lifnehem, you need to have a bezdin for mishpatim. Apparently that's inclusive of what he was dealing with. And we don't have smuchim nowadays. So then the Gemara invokes the concept we talked about a few weeks ago of shlichus ayhu, that we have some mechanism nowadays to allow contemporary dayanim or dayanim outside of Eretz Yisrael to take on Beis Din functions. So that Gemara seems to be clearly saying that in the situation of what he was doing, he does need a Beis Din, and it should have been a Beis Din smuchim, but shlichus ayhu will take care of that detail.
What was he trying to do then?
So he was compelling Gittin. He was forcing people to give Gittin. So there, says the Beis HaLevi in a tshuva, quoting Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Beis HaLevi, you may recall, was the Korosh Yeshiva of Volozhiner together with the Netziv, and there was much tension between them, between their students at least. It's interesting, sometimes you find a couple of cases where they have similar positions, the halacha, for different reasons. So here's another such example. We mentioned a few minutes ago that the Netziv writes, you don't need a get for a Beis Din. And Beis HaLevi writes the same thing. You don't really need a get for a Beis Din, unless the Beis Din has to be compelled. So if the Beis Din has to be, if the get has to be compelled, so then you need a Beis Din for that. Now, parenthetically, that itself is interesting. Just to give a little bit of chazara from last year, so we talked about the fact that there was a concept of kfiya on mitzvos. The Gemara in Ksubas and Daf Pei Vav makes reference to the idea that mitzvos can be compelled. And there's a whole discussion in the Achronim about whether or not you need a Beis Din to compel for mitzvos in general. Is this something that an individual can do? Or is it something that only a Beis Din can do? And the Ksos shows that you need a Beis Din from that Gemara and Gittin in order to compel. And others say, no, that's not a great proof, because maybe that doesn't show you that all mitzvos need a Beis Din. That a get, you're going to force a get, that needs a Beis Din. A get has unique elements to it that require a Beis Din in order for it to be forced upon anyone else. But mitzvos in general, maybe not. What distinction could you make to explain that? Why should that be? In other words, why should you say that I could force someone else to do a mitzvah without a Beis Din, but to force them to give a get, that requires a Beis Din? Why should you make such a distinction? So maybe because the get needs ratzon and we need the Beis Din to supply the ratzon, that's a possibility. Other mitzvot maybe don't have that specific requirement of ratzon. That's definitely a possible angle. What else?
I think we suggested that it involves two people. It's more.
Okay, right. So it's not a simple mitzvah where it's just about you taking a lulav, but there's two sides of the story and there's all kinds of bilateral implications. Any other possibilities?
It's not like parietal, so I'm cross-conditioned. That'd be more serious.
Okay, maybe the stakes are higher than because of personal status is affected. It's a possibility too. Well, another possibility also is that it's not always so clear that it is a mitzvah. Right? So a mitzvah, if you're talking about taking your lulav, so then you know you have a direct chiyuv. When it comes to a get, we have to first ascertain that the mitzvah in the first place. So maybe you need a Beis Din process for that. So all of that goes into the equation of the fact that here you have this Gemara saying that Yosef was only able to compel Gittin because of shlichus ayhu. In other words, for sure he needs a Beis Din to do it. So what are the implications of that? The implications might be that all mitzvos need a Beis Din to compel, or maybe it's something unique about Gittin. And maybe even when it comes to Gittin, it doesn't necessarily reflect how Gittin are given generally, but just that when a get is given against the husband's will, so then it needs kfiya. Right? And again, now this also will work well with an Oda Behuda. Right? If you recall, the Oda Behuda we said a few minutes ago, that he was baffled by Rashi because he would have thought that Miyun and Chalitza are more comparable, or Miyun is not really comparable to get, let's put it that way, because Miyun, I need a Beis Din because it's happening against the will of the husband. A get, which doesn't happen against the will of the husband, shouldn't be the best. So then maybe that works well with the Beis HaLevi's suggestion that when it happens against the will of the husband, then it does need a bezin. But the basic default, if it's not happening against his will, then it doesn't necessarily need a bezin. Okay? So that's definitely one good possibility, that maybe the default is you don't need a bezin, but if it's happening through compulsion, so then that's when you're going to need a bezin. Any other possible suggestions of where a bezin might come into play, which is not necessarily the everyday get situation? Right?
Complicated
situation. Oh, okay, so complicated mumminess. So, yes, that's a very good possibility. I want to come back to that in a few minutes, but just to flesh out what you're saying. And this is definitely something that you find, this is perhaps what you find that Rishonim alluding to a little bit, that every gittin case becomes a mumminess case also. Right? It becomes a mumminess case at the core because there's a ksuba involved. But it could be more than that. Right? It could be that that's why we need bezdins. Now, it's interesting, just to kind of allude to two current controversy topics within gittin. So, first of all, as we discussed extensively last year, we talked about the prenup. We mentioned that a lot of what fuels the current Aguna crisis is not so much overt, obvious cruelty, even if it boils down to that, but very often stalled negotiations over details, or over major details, and venue shopping. Right? Which is why, again, the prenup, which we strongly recommend, is so valuable, because it says from the beginning where all these issues will be dealt with and how they will be dealt with. So because divorces get so contentious in the details, so that's what leads to them going unresolved sometimes in a lot of cases for ridiculously long time, because there's so much to argue about in terms of those details. So perhaps the role of the Besdin is for that purpose. Happened to be just this morning while you guys were doing this marmakomos, somebody came to me to show me the negotiation that was going on in the context of a divorce, and it was so incredibly complicated. Just highlighted the fact that then the whole back and forth was discussing what kind of bezdin is going to deal with this. So there is a role for a bezdin to address the complex monetary negotiations or other types of negotiations, but very often they're monetary in nature, that surround a divorce. So maybe that's where a bezdin comes in. So again, it could be that that's what we're talking about, that the etzem hagerishin doesn't by its very nature require a bezdin, but there is a role for a bezdin in the context of gittin, and maybe that's what we're talking about. And that's we'll come back to that point a little bit at more length. Either in a few minutes, we'll see if we have to carry this on tomorrow. There's another case where, or another scenario where we might say, again, on the one hand, that basic run-of-the-mill get doesn't need a bezdin, but you could need a bezdin relevant to gittin. Let's phrase it that way. What other possibility might that be? Can you think? I phrase that in a somewhat cumbersome way in order to give you a clue. All right, maybe run-of-the-mill get doesn't need a bezdin, but there is a relevance of bezdin to a broader gittin situation. Okay, so sorry.
Someone relative, someone else.
No, but okay. I know this is going to be too cumbersome to include. But let's say like this. Let's say you have a situation where there is a shaila about a woman's ishas ish status. The question of whether or not a get has been given, or whether or not a get is needed. Right. So this again alludes to some current controversial topics. And what about allowing a ishas ish or a former ishas ish to get married, and some investigation has to take place to ascertain, was there a get, does there have to be a get, is there a possibility of remarrying without a get? Also, again, a topic we spoke about at length last semester. But one could say that maybe that shayla requires a bezdin. Now, not everyone would agree that's the case. Again, that's a little bit of a current controversy. Is that something which can be decided by a posek by himself? Is that something which inherently requires a bezdin by its very nature? That's a controversial topic, but maybe that's what the Rashi is getting at. That because maybe if we're not dealing with the giving of a get, we're dealing with a shiloh that comes up. We have this woman, we know she was married. We didn't see the get given. We know in the past she was married, you know the husband's still alive. So we want to ascertain, is she allowed to remarry? So the assessment of whether a get was given, or whether a get needs to be given, or is there any possibility of allowing her to remarry without a get, how is that question dealt with? So maybe that's what Rashi is saying, that when that question comes up, which isn't necessarily a statement about every get, but it's the bezdin of a get, so maybe that's what needs to read. And this is something which is suggested as a possibility in the shiurim of David Parvarsky. David Parvarsky in his shiurim to Sanhedrin suggests that that might be what's going on here. So basically, so far we just saw three suggestions which all have the benefit of upholding the basic halacha that many take to be the case, that a get does not need bezdin, while at the same time giving viable interpretations to Rashi as saying a bezdin of a get needs three. Just to recap this point, that we could say that you're right, a bezdin does not by its definition automatically, a get does not by its definition always need bezdin, but there's still room to uphold the words of Rashi that, oh, a bezdin for a get is of three if, let's say, it has to be compelled, or there is a particularly complicated monetary adjudication. Again, we'll come back to that point. Or maybe we're not talking about the giving of a get, we're talking about assessing after the fact whether or not this the former Ashes Muteres, maybe that's where you need a bezdin. Those are perhaps three different ways to uphold the sentence. A get doesn't need a bezdin, but the bezdin of a get has to be three. That sentence could make sense in those three ways. Zach, you go first.
Would a case where you're not sure if the husband is dead or not, would that fall into the last category then?
So it would seem like it, right? The idea of being mater and Ashes Ish, which, you know, whether it's because you're assuming that he's possibly dead, we call the classic in a situation, might theoretically fall into that heading. We don't necessarily know that's true in practice. Now, how are those issues dealt with in practice? So it happens to be they're dealt through Bate Din nowadays. Does that have to be the case? Historically, they were dealt with by Gedolei Hadar Poskim, not necessarily in the formal context of the Bezdin. Are we saying that that has to be the case, if it has to be a Bezdin? It's an interesting question to consider, but that could be implied here, or you could also say no. You could say that when we're thinking that he might be dead, that's a different kind of Shiloh. So then that's we could ascertain that through a certain type of methodology. But if we're saying that we know there's a previous marriage and the husband's alive, how do we deal with that? Maybe that's what we're talking about. Again, we don't have to have an absolute answer because it's just a question of what the Rashi might possibly be talking about, but in major implications. Again, this is a topic which is currently under controversy. How do you have to deal with these issues? Could a single posek deal with this issue? Could you require a bezdin? Do you require a certain kind of bezdin? How exactly should that be addressed? Maybe that's a little bit what's going on here. Hi.
Wouldn't you say that these cases require basing more on a derabbanan level?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say derabbanan. I would say more that they are circumstantial. So let's take them case by case, okay? So, for example, the first possibility that you need for the purposes of compelling a get. So that, if that's the case, I don't think that's a din derabbanan. I think it sounds very much from the Gemara and Gittin, like that's a din deraisa, veilim shabbat, mishra tasim with nehem. And that wasn't the Marmar Kamsri saying, right? You saw that Gemara. So there, that sounds like that is a din deraisa, just it doesn't come up all the time. Then you could say that if he's giving the get willingly, so it's not relevant. But when it has to be forced, so then you certainly are talking about derisas. So let's say the other cases, the monetary case, you would say probably also is derisa, and we'll say a little more about that. But I think that also would probably come out to be derisa, just because in terms of dealing with the monetary conflict, the question of dealing with the question of a heter eishes ish, so that gets a little bit more nuanced. If we don't really have an explicit source that tells us it needs a bez din, so and we just have this Rashi, it gets a little bit more up in the air. One could say that's more a question of policy, that really a posek by himself could deal with that, but because of its implications, it should be a bez din issue. I could see that being less of a deraisa. Question is then, it won't work with Rashi. So I don't see it's have to say exclusively a... I think out of the three, that's the one that's a little bit most open, and then maybe that's your question, saying if that's what's driving it, then does that work with Rashi, who is specifically focusing on Cain Deraisa?
But even with the first two cases, which are circumstantial, mm-hmm. we're saying that we're basing that Mune is connected with a circumstantial Deraisa?
Yeah, that actually, I think that could work well. Let's say, for example, again, the Beis Halevi's one, the one about compelling. So let's think of it like this, right? So that what Rashi is telling us is, okay, Mion is a case where, against the will of a husband, this girl says she's not interested. And that means a Beis Din. So, or that's the Din, first of all, that's what's happening. So Rashi is saying, okay, well, what's that comparable to? It's comparable to a get, but only a certain kind of get. A get which is happening against the will of a husband. Because when it happens willingly, okay, so then it's not really matching. But if we want to find a case where a marriage ends against the will of a husband, so a marriage d'oraisa that ends against the will of a husband, that's a forced get. A marriage d'rabbanan that ends against the will of a husband, that's miyun. So those two are comparable. So yeah, I think that might actually work well, especially because it also allows for other possibilities. So one could say that specifically that the Beis Halevi's interpretation might be the most harmonious interpretation in really allowing for all the different sources to live in harmony in the most happy way so far. So there's more to say about this. We'll probably have to... Okay, question?
Wouldn't we expect that if it's Cain d'oraisa taken, that Mian would be the same as get if it's modeled after that, and that Mian should only in certain circumstances require Beis Din of three?
Except that Mian by its very nature is against the will of the husband.
So then it's kind of not parallel to... Then how do we answer that question? It's not parallel to get.
The point that it is, it's parallel only to certain kinds of get. It's not parallel to every get. It's that you have a marriage drabanan that's ending against the will of the husband. So let's compare it to a marriage d'oraisa that's ending against the will of the husband. In that case, you need a Beis Din. And you focus on all those elements together, that it's a marriage that's ending against the will of the husband. And, if it, and then the Beis Din specifically is there because of the lack of will. Right? That's what also emerges from this, that the role of the Beis Din is not just because the marriage is ending, but specifically it's happening against the will of one of the parties. So that's why that becomes... the ideal model. So, if you saw, Tamir?
Yeah, what about the Targum of Benyos, seemingly implied that there has to be a get for three, and it was like the most basic.
Yes,
okay.
Perfect segue. I was just about to get up to that, so thanks for asking that. So, if you saw the Targum Yonason is one source that does seem, without even coming on to Rashi, Targum Yonason by himself, does seem to say that inherent in the get process is that it happens in front of Beis Din. So that's its own can of worms. Right? That question of what to do with that Targum Yonason is a different problem than Rashi. It's coming from its own source and its own way of having to be dealt with. Can't really deal with it in the same way that we've done until now. It has to be addressed separately. So for one question is, how much do you worry about it? How much do you think the Pasuk can look at Targum Yonason? How much do you think that the Targum Yonason that we have nowadays is actual Targum Yonason? I think my mother wrote a paper about this in college. I asked her about this. But the concept of the Jonathan, you know, pseudo-Jonathan, the Jonathan that we have is not the accurate Yonason ben Uzziel. So that's itself a discussion in Poskin. The Tumim quotes this. The Tumim in Simintes quotes this Targum Yonason. And others are not worried about it. Others write that they don't think that this is a concern. It's not the real Targum Yonason in the first place. So we don't have to worry about it. But there are those who deal with it also. You know, what are the implications? Whether or not it's true, l'halacha l'maisa, what are the implications of the Targum Yonis. So this is dealt with by Rav Gusman, called Rav Bracha, the Sefer Pintrei Seishiurim. Rav Gusman, hopefully you've heard of Rav Gusman, was a great Gaon in Gadol Hador. Passed away in 1991, and he was the tremendous Gaon when he was a young man in Europe, in Vilna, before he had to fight with the partisans during the Holocaust, and then ended up first in New York, and then in Yerushalayim, where he was at the end of his life. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of Knesset Yisrael, and his shiurim are recorded, some during his lifetime, some after his lifetime, in Svarim under the title Kuntrei Seishiurim. So in the Kuntrei Seishiurim in Gittin, he talks about this idea of the Targum Yonasan, and he suggests that maybe the idea is, what the Targum Yonasan is suggesting, is that part of the process of the get is that the Sfiras Dvarim, that the get essentially tells a story about this man who has decided to divorce his wife, and that maybe that itself has to happen in front of the Bez Din. That's what's going on, that this man is essentially telling his story in front of Bez Din, and that the telling of the story, part of that is not just the giving of the get that's making that statement, but the writing itself is also a part of the Sfiras Dvarim, is also a part of the telling of the story, and therefore that also has to happen through a Bez Din. Okay, so there is another stage to this, because we're almost out of time, it involves another step, and also a few more makoros would be good for you to see, so I'll just kind of set it up, and then we'll review, and we'll use the shorter Seder and some more time to finish that tomorrow. Then we'll try to say a few more points in the Mishnah, and then hopefully by the end of the week we'll be out of the Mishnah. But, fascinating topics that are included in this Mishnah. But, so the question is, so when we mentioned a few minutes ago that maybe the idea of the Beis Din is because there's a monetary component, there's a ksuba involved, so is it just like we presented it a few minutes ago that it has to do with specifically complicated cases? Or should we say more than that, that there is inherently in every divorce a mominous component because there is a ksuba? And how does that fit in? Now, ksuba, again, a little bit of bias to those who were in yeshiva last year, that ksuba, we generally assume, is a din derabanan, which would be hard to then explain how that could be part of the deraisa model, although there is an opinion in Rishonim that ksuba is deraisa, maybe there's more to it than that. But is it that we're saying that essentially every get is automatically a mishpat? Or is it just that there could be complicated details? Now, the Gemara in Gittin that we referred to, so we said that it works well if we assume that it's only talking about coerced Gittin, and that it's the coercion that requires Beis Din. But there are those who read it differently. And among them, the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah, who quotes that Gemara to understand that get is inherently mishpat. And this is also something that's discussed in the Shuv of another Behuda, the Zohar Zeruah. And because the Gemara in Gittin is telling us that get is inherently mishpat, so therefore that's going to have mishpat implications. So, for example, says the Or Zeruah, and Rama quotes this idea from Or Zeruah, that's from the Sadashin, who also has this notion. Therefore, a get cannot be given at night. Because since the halacha is that din has to take place during the daytime, and a get we see from the Gemara in Gittin is inherently mishpat, therefore that can't be done at night either. So what are the implications of that for this whole din? How does that work together with the possibility that get doesn't require a Beis Din? Is the Or Zeruah telling us, no, Rashi's right, get always needs a Beis Din? That's what Rashi means and Rashi's right? Or is this somehow compatible with the idea of get not needing a Beis Din? And what extent is this a clue to the whole story? So God willing, we'll have to continue with that tomorrow. But let's just recap what we spoke about today. We saw on the one hand, the Mishnah says, Miyun needs three. Rashi says, Kein Daraisa. And leading many to think, he's talking about get, such as the Bihudu says, it's hard to understand, so we would have thought that a get does not require a Bezdin. So indeed, there are many who didn't make that assumption at all, like Yair Flaner and the Rashash, and who said that it's talking about Chalitza, and if that's the case, you have no problem, everything works out well. First of all, we can answer then why the Mishnah doesn't talk about get, which it should if get needs a Bezdin. We could explain the fact that Chalitza and Yid are next to each other in Mishnah, which would work well. And there were certain conceptual similarities that favor pairing together Chalitza and Miyun rather than get. The fact that it happens against the will of the husband in both cases, the fact that both are basically just declarations, the fact that in both cases the husband isn't doing anything, it just happens on its own, these are all pointed out in various sources as reasons to link Chalitza and Miyun rather than get and Miyun. So you take that approach, all this discussion falls away. But we have to consider the fact that there are many who assume that Rashi was talking about get. So how do we harmonize the issues, especially since there are Gemaras that imply that a get does not require a Bezdin, particularly most blatantly, the Machlokas in the beginning of Maseches Gittin about whether you give a get in front of two or in front of three. So we gave a couple of ways of harmonizing them so that we could say in one sentence that get does not require a Bezdin, but when there is a Bezdin for a get, it's a Bezdin of three. We saw a couple ways to do that. One is, like the Beis Halevi said, if it's being compelled, like the Gemara says in Gittin, that compelling Gittin does need a Bezdin, in fact a Bezdin of Shluchim, except that we rely on Shluchim Sahu. So maybe that's what we're talking about, only in those cases to require a Bezdin. We discussed the possibility that maybe it's talking about particularly complex monetary issues. I mentioned that I was looking at that this morning in real life, that maybe that's what is referred to when we talk about Bezdin for get, and that's a very real factor in why there's so many drawn-out divorces to the suffering of many. Modern era because of the complexity and the need for Bezdin to look at least practically speaking. We talked about another controversial topic, the question that maybe to allow an Ishish to remarry maybe requires a Bezdin to look into it, but not necessarily that every get automatically needs Bezdin. And we also dealt with the question, what about a whole different source, Tarnyonasi, which sounds like you need a Bezdin at the Ksivas Aget. Discussed whether or not one has to worry about the Psaka for Psaka purposes of Targum Yonason. We discussed the fact that Tumim does quote this Targum Yonason, and we discussed through Gosman's explanation that maybe this is saying that part of the Sfiras Dvarim of the Get, the Sfiras Dvarim has to be in front of the Bezdin, and that maybe the writing of the Get is a part of the Sfiras Dvarim. And then we talked a little bit, we just mentioned that there were those who interpreted the Gemara in Gittin about Tfiyah as saying Gittin by their very nature are treated like Mishpat, and that that could have ramifications, for example, as to whether you can get a night, if you have your Zeruah, that you cannot. And what does that say about Gittin inherently? Is there something that inherently treats them as Mishpat, and what ramifications does that have for the whole Bezdin question? So that's, God willing, where we will pick up tomorrow. Okay, we will dab a mincha. Shkaf.